Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
All right, so Deborah, I was told you got something special here.
Thank you. Can I have the girls from that participated this summer in the nails and any lady that participated in this body come on up? Any ladies that came, that participated? Micaiah, Betty, come on up. Yep. Wendy, anybody who participated in this summer, come on up, please. Yep. Come on. You came. Linda, come on. Come on. Rose. Rose, don't be shy. Come on up, Mary. Rose, come on up. All right, so over the, a while back, they had asked us to bridge the gap. If there was anything that, anybody could do between the older and the, the elder and the and the younger. And they asked us to bridge the gap. And so what we did was we reached out to teach these girls a trade, nails. They learned nails over the summer. And so what we wanted to do was bless them with some shirts and thank them and thank all you ladies for coming out to participate. Relationships have been built, numbers have been exchanged. If these ladies ever need any, somebody in a situation, or even an older lady wants to just call and just say, hey, how you doing? So that's what we did over the summer. And so these girls are about to embark on their journey back to school. And so what we wanted to do was bless them with the t-shirt. And if I can have somebody read your t-shirt. You want to read, hold your t-shirt. There you go.
Okay, the front says, can't throw stones while washing feet.
So these ladies can't throw stones while they're washing feet, okay? And then we want to teach them that, go ahead.
It says, okay, so Operation Ripple Effect. And then it says, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus is yours.
Yeah, so I want you ladies to remember that the peace of God is yours, and the peace is powerful. It's not just something that is, little peace, but peace is powerful and it calms the storm, and it's always yours no matter where you go or what you do. And so we want you to remember that you are in Christ, and we bless you. And so Linda, if I could have you say a prayer over the ladies, and then, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Before I say that prayer, I just want to share with you, these young girls know who they are in Christ. I asked the question, we had a little time of celebration, but also we prayed, and these ladies gave their wisdom of what not to do. They shared their mistakes, but they showed also the redemption of Christ, that Christ redeemed them from their mistakes, but also renewed them and redeemed them in such a mighty way that they are the ladies who they are. And it took a lot of courage to speak out and to, talk about their lives and where they had gone wrong. It was really amazing. And then I went around the room and I asked them each, I said, who are you? And usually the answers are about, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, I'm a teacher, I'm a, different things that they've done in their life. Well, you know what? Those are your earthly assignments. It's not who you are in Christ. And they all had something to say. I am a daughter of the King. I am the daughter of the Most High. So these girls knew who they are. And that was just so amazing that as we went around the room, we heard beautiful things that just made a difference in knowing that they're standing on a solid foundation. And so praise God. Thank you to Gina and to Deborah for providing this for them. Thank you to all the ladies from the Mighty Women Ministry who came forward and said, I want to mentor you. I'm going to give you my feet and my fingers. we prayed. God actually gave us words for the girls, and it was just a stunning time. So, God truly blessed. So you two ladies were amazing in creating that for them. And then young ladies, amazing. I am stunned by your beauty, you know, inside and out, but also what the future holds for you. So thank you for asking courageous questions too, because they ask them good questions about, well, tell me about what you share with us. And ladies, those in the Mighty Women Ministry, thank you for sharing your lives and for being vulnerable and letting people know, letting these young ladies know that they don't have to make the same mistakes and how they don't have to be bullied or pressured into anything. It's the Holy Spirit that will guide them and watch over them. Okay, so.
So one other thing I wanted to share, and I want to thank Rebecca for making our t-shirts. But as she was putting this together and it went through, you know, a couple designs. And so as we're sitting here, one of the things I want you ladies to always remember is that you are covered. We cover you in the blood of Jesus. You are covered in the blood of Jesus. And the t-shirt came out with a cross, with the blood, and with God's precious the love of in his hands. And so I want you to always remember, you guys are covered in the blood of Jesus, okay? Yeah, and thank you, Rebecca, for the t-shirts. Yeah, thank you so much, ladies. Thank you. Okay, you want to pray?
Yeah. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship with these young ladies. Thank you for helping us share with them. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that led us and led them through a season of who you are in them. And Lord, we just ask for your blessings upon them, that your hand would be upon them wherever they go, that they will sense you being with them, beside them, in front of them, and that, Father, everything will be to your glory. So we thank you for this time in school. We ask that you continue to bless them. And Lord, let them be the salt and the light in their schools. Let them see people that are feeling, you know, sad, and it doesn't matter if they're male or female, that they're going to be able to pray for them, and that they're going to encourage them and help them through whatever it is that they're doing. And Lord, bless the women who are going to be there as mentors and pray for them, and let that connection not break, that it just stays saying, I want to speak to that person because I need prayer, that they will be blessed by you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much.
I just want to say that these girls did amazing. They actually are becoming pros and doing nails with the help of God. And I would like each one of them to say a little something of what they learned or whatever you have in your heart.
We don't just do nails. We also spent time with God. And I learned a lot about God while doing nails.
Like Angelique said, it wasn't just like all nails. It was like a relationship with God, like growing our relationship with God. So I feel like what I took out of what we learned the most is that like you don't like need money to help people. Just like doing something through God is more important than wanting money for anything.
Come on.
Well, of course, we've learned how to do nails and pedicures, and we also learned things about each other, and we enjoyed every single moment. We helped each other out with all the mistakes we did, and we had a really fun time.
How about you, Marianne? You say something. What did you learn? What did you learn?
Yeah. I learned that, okay. They're just learning, and so it's not perfect, but their heart was in the right place, you don't criticize because it isn't perfect. You just point out, you know, a little thing. So it helped me, and she did a great job. Yeah. Yes. You see the growth. And not growth, not only in your personal, what you're doing, but how you act in life. And that's how we start, and God starts and works with us in our life, too.
I saw the girls when they were working, and they were very focused on what they were doing, and they took it all very seriously. And there was some laughter, there was some fellowship. They shared with each other and with their clientele, but it was just their whole attitude was beautiful. Just very professional, but it was just beautiful to see them and to see the focus that they were really sincere about what they were doing. And it was just great to watch them. They're great kids, beautiful, all of them.
Ben's up here because he actually got his nails done too. No color, but Lonnie clipped them for him. There are a select few that Ben will allow cut his nails, and Lonnie's one of them. So she did a really good job, but he wants to say something.
God made the earth and all the little cats, and he made my Floyd cat, and he made us to have a good life.
Amen.
I did not get a chance to participate in the girls doing my nails, and I was really looking forward to it because I heard good things and I saw really beautiful things. And I really appreciate Deborah and Gina for doing, you know, what you did. I mean, this is a rare occasion. If I would be your age, man, I would be jumping for excitement because, you know, I always wanted to learn something that I could, you know, make money on, you know, before school. Getting school clothes is always fun, and especially when you make your own money. So God bless you all, and I think you did a great job from what I saw. Have a great school year.
Thank you, ladies. Let's have a round of applause. Thank you, Lord.
That's awesome, right? You know, the first time that it specifically states that somebody was filled with God's Spirit in the Bible was this man named Bezalel. I hope I pronounced that right. But it was in the book of Exodus in chapter 31, and it talks about him being filled with the Spirit of God with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. And this was to create artistic designs for the tabernacle. So it's important that, you know, just because you're not a pastor or a leader or a teacher or anything like that, know that you still actually are a teacher. Know that you still have something to offer to other people, okay? Everybody, every one of us has something to offer another person. So that's why church is so important. It doesn't have to be in a building, but it has to be with other believers. Where we build up one another, we encourage one another. We're supposed to be a family, right? But there's strength in that unity. There's this thing that comes in God's unity that we can't find anywhere else. So just know that it's important. You have something to offer, and make sure you're offering it. We're not just supposed to be spectators. We're supposed to actually be involved and do something for the kingdom of God. Okay? So, Lord, I just ask today that spirit of unity continues within all of us, Lord. God, that you strengthen us and you empower us to do so much for your kingdom that you've planned for us. Lord, that we are willing to do what you've called us to, that the word we hear today, it takes root in us, God, and is fruitful, so that we use it to live the life you've called us to, and to live to show the love that you've asked us to show to the world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! All right, let's go to worship.
Praise God. Hallelujah. How many believe that? That he makes everything work together for your good. Amen? All things. I mean, do you believe all things work together for your good? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. God wants you to believe in him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, man, we got to believe God. Amen? If there's anything you need to believe today, oh, there's a lot of stuff you can believe. And so a lot of times today, and sometimes you find out what you were believing in wasn't even right. Is that right? But God... Everybody say, but God. God, you can believe in God. Can you say amen? God will never, never, ever go against his word. What he's told you. He's going to do it. Can you say amen? Amen. Every beginning of the month, we'll do a corporate communion. So we're going to do that now. If we can have the ladies come on and go ahead and pass out the bread and the wine. Amen. Grape juice. How many of you know that having communion together is like sitting at home with your family? Is that right? And enjoying the time of being together. Amen. That's why we call it a corporate communion. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That the body of Christ in this church, whether you're visiting or not, you're going to go into communion with us. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I'm going to take you to some scriptures. And it's in, it's Psalm 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. Psalm 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. I can read it. I'm sorry. The Bible says here in Psalm 5, it says, "Give ear unto my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." I like this. How many of you like meditating on God's word? If you don't know what I mean by meditating on God's word, it is taking God's word and just going over it in your heart, speaking it to yourself, speaking it to other people, speaking it to the plants, speaking it to the ceiling, but going over the word of God, meditating in the word of God, like a cow chews its cud. Can you say amen?
That's it.
How many of you know what a cow does? With grass, they will bite the grass, they'll chew it, and they'll swallow it. It goes into this medium stomach they've got. They'll every once in a while, they'll kick it back up, and they'll chew on it some more. And they keep doing that till they get all the good stuff out of that grass. And see, meditating on the Word of God is something that is really, really good for you. You take God's Word, and you begin to think about what He's saying. And it says right here, it says, blessed... It says, "Give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my meditation." What are you thinking about? What is it that you're thinking about this morning? "Listen to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto you will I pray. My voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer to you and I will look up." Every morning, is God hearing your voice? As soon as you get up, say, "God, this is a beautiful day." Amen? Even if you haven't seen it, even if your room is dark, get up and say, "Hey, this is a beautiful day." Maybe it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but it's a beautiful day. Amen?
Amen.
To give thanks, to talk to the Lord, and have this thing coming out of you, this meditation. That's what He's looking for. What are you thinking about? What is it that you're thinking about? Are you thinking about the neighbor's lawn or the trash in the street that's down the road? What is it that you're thinking about? Like even right now, what are you thinking about? Are you focused on the Lord? Because when we go into communion, it's important that we focus on what God is doing. Can you say amen to that? Do you know that it's important that we focus, that this bread that we're taking, I don't know, have they given it out yet? The bread that we're taking, it represents something. Can you say amen to that? It represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was not only whipped, but he was spit upon. They pulled his beard. They called him names. And his body on that day was broken for us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, hey, let's think about that just for a minute. Do you deserve for somebody to actually go and give their life for you? Do you deserve it? We don't deserve it. But because he loved us, he really loved us, he said, "I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to give my body for them." And his blood. When they began to whip them, they used that cat of nine tails that says it's got bone in it. It's got little pieces of iron. They used to make it to tear the flesh so that when they whipped him, it would actually grab, and then they could pull that thing and it would rip and cut his back. And there was kind of a rule with the Romans. If any man can stand 30, can do more than 30 lashes of the Roman whip, he would immediately be set free.
Oh, wow.
30 lashes of that, from that cat of nine tails. 30 lashes, they made him, and they said, you know, stop right there. We can't do one more because we'd have to set him free. And these people want him crucified. All that blood that he spilled from that post all the way up. I know that some will say that he shed his blood. The Bible says he began shedding his blood in Gethsemane, that he was sweating blood. Every drop was for us. All the way from the judgment hall all the way up to Calvary's hill, every drop of blood. Every time he fell with that cross, every drop of blood was for us. When they got him to the hill, they set him, they laid him down on the cross that he had carried. They nailed him to it.
Yes.
And then they stood him up and they dropped it into the segment that holds that cross up by itself. Had to be at least a foot or two, is that right? Had to be that, at least that deep, and to let it fall and him hanging on it by some nails. Communion is a time when we think about what he has done for us.
Amen.
What he went through for us to be brought into the kingdom of God. The Bible says, yet the Father knew. He planned it.
Yep.
Because this was what was going to happen so that we could be rejoined, if you will, or redeemed is the word, to God, to be paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the price that we should have received on that cross. It's an amazing thing. And it's something to be really thinking about. Jesus said that he said to remember him in these. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. I'm going to read these to you. Go home. Matthew 26. I'm sorry, I don't have it right. Oh, yes, I do. Matthew 26, starting at verse 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. And he said, take and eat. I'm going to hold on just for a second. Could we all stand? Let's honor the Lord in the communion. Honor him well. Think about what he did for us as you take this bread. Think about what the Father must have went through to see his son, his only son, go to the cross. Think about the impact that it made not only in heaven, but also here on earth. How the angels of God had to be restrained so they wouldn't come down to help him. They had to be restrained. Because the Bible says that they didn't even know what was going on. It was between the Father and the Son to redeem mankind, to redeem us. So take the word, take the bread, and hold it in your right hand. Hold it in your hand. And say, Lord, I remember what you did for me. Can you tell him that? I remember what you did for me. Say this, I will never forget. I will never forget the price you paid for my life. Take the bread. And the Bible says that he took the cup. And he gave thanks, and he gave it to all of them. And he said, drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for me, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. And then verse 29 says this, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my kingdom. This is the cup of his blood in the New Testament. Can you say amen? The testament in his blood. And Jesus has something kind of neat to say about it. I won't drink it again until I drink it afresh with you in my kingdom. You see, he brings you into the kingdom. And there is a wine to be drank in this kingdom. How do you say amen to that? Do you know that the Spirit of God is a new wine to us? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that wine, God said, Jesus says, I'll drink it with you. I will show you things. I will bring things to your remembrance because of the New Testament, which is represented in this cup today. If you will, take the cup. Let's just give the Lord 1 minute. Closing your eyes and telling how much you thank him. How much you love him for what he's done for you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I will never forget, Lord. Don't let me ever forget, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, I want you at this moment, take a minute to think and say, Lord, give him a request right now that comes from your heart. Say, Lord, whatever it is, give him a request. You see, this is called communion with God. Father, I want to see that young man down the street from my house. I want to see him saved, God. I want to see Josh coming to church, Lord. Commune with him. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation, Father. Hearken to the voice of my cry, Father. Touch the lost. For unto you will I cry, and unto you will I lift my voice. My voice you will hear in the morning, Lord. Hear my cry. Touch my family. Heal the body of Christ, Father. In Jesus' name. In the name of your son, Jesus, Father, we ask this morning, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can sit down. Amen. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. I need to know. Sometimes you just got to know. Is that right? Does anybody have a left wrist that's hurting, that is bothering them? It's something going on with your left wrist. Anybody have anything like that? Hallelujah. Nobody. Okay. All right. Only reason my left wrist is killing me. Praise God. Amen. I don't know what's going on with it. I might have hit something. I don't know. I might have got bit by something. I don't know. But praise God. He has a reason. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. So nobody has a bad left hand. No? Praise God. Yeah, just me. Pray for me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go into the Word. This is going to be kind of, I guess you could say, Bible 101. How many of you like Bible 101? Anybody? Yeah, just simple Bible, okay? There's some simple things. But the thing is, a lot of these scriptures are found in John. But what I just want to say is, do you know that God has paid for your sins? Do you know? Every sin that you could make, God had already done. You know, the Bible says that there is no sin known unto man that God doesn't know about. He paid for it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
There's nothing that surprises God in your life, if you will. One of the attitudes of the kingdom is a sinless life. Can you say amen to that? Do you guys know what I'm saying? Your mindset needs to be connected to the kingdom, saying this is my mindset, because it's Christ's mindset within me, that I am not a sinner. I do not sin. Can you say amen? I was raised in the Catholic Church. I started as a young man. My dad had died, and I went in and I became an altar boy. I looked real cute. And I had my little cassock and my little long robe underneath, black robe with white cassock and everything. And I used to light candles in the church, and we used to pour wine and water for the priests. But they taught me something, that every Saturday or Friday I had to go to confession if I wanted to take the host, which is the bread. Every week, it didn't matter. No matter what. And so go to confession. Hey, I was a young man. As far as I know, I wasn't stealing anybody's marbles. I wasn't doing anything crazy. But I'd go in there. I had to go to confession because the priest knew us. And he would even tell us, if you don't go, you ain't getting no bread. Yeah. So, okay. So I'd go. I didn't know what to say sometimes. I hit my brother. My sister, she made me mad, so I pulled her hair. I don't know, whatever I could figure out, you know. Went to the store, and I saw a gumball, and I took it. Whatever, but confessing. But when I got to know Jesus,
yes.
The Bible told me, the Bible told me that he died for my sins. And then he put all those things in what he calls a sea of forgetfulness, where he doesn't bring them up at all. He knows about them. He could bring them up if he wanted to, but he doesn't. The blood of Jesus does a complete work. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It does a whole work. That's why the Bible will tell you in some places that you are complete and whole in him. Because what he's done for you is a done deal. Can you say amen to that? On the cross, he said, it's finished.
Amen.
They are done, God. Whosoever will can come and partake of God if it's in your heart to do so. Can you say amen to that? You know, the Bible says that you must be born again. Born again. Born by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, I say you got to be, there's something that has to be done within you. See, I was a young Catholic boy. I was caught in a circle. Can you understand that? I was in a circle. You got to confess it. Okay. So if I got to confess, you know what that's telling me? I'm a sinner. So I got to go confess before I take the host. So I got to go every week because I'm a sinner. And I could never get past the part that said I was a sinner until I read the Word of God. Until I found out from God's Word that you can live without sin. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know you can live without sin? You remember that lady that was going to get stoned because she was caught in adultery? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And they wanted to kill her. The priest said, hey, we caught this lady in the very act of adultery. And what do you say about her? And he told them, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. How many of you know they all had sin? Yeah. I mean, can you say amen? Jesus hadn't died yet. So sin was very prevalent. Yeah. Even in the religious folks. How many of you know that the religious folks can get themselves into sin? Okay. Do you know that? You can think that God's not watching you, but, oh, he's watching you.
Oh, yeah.
Can you say amen? So when he said, you throw the first stone, they wouldn't throw it. They all left from the oldest to the youngest. Why would that be? Why would the oldest men leave first? They were a little more experienced with sin. So since we're a little more experienced with sin, we're going to go. We'll see you later. You guys handle it. Amen. They all dropped their rocks and left. And Jesus asked the lady, where are your accusers? She said, there's none, Lord. And he tells her, neither do I accuse you. And he tells her something. He says, go and sin no more. You see, I was raised, and I even had conversations with brothers in the Lord that would tell me, there's nobody that can walk without sin. I said, you got to be kidding me. That's not, then the work's not done. Well, we didn't say the work wasn't done. We're just saying that nobody can walk without sin. And I'm saying the Bible says that you can walk. Jesus told the lady, go and sin no more. Is that right?
Yes.
Why would he tell her that if it was impossible to walk that way? He would be cutting her short. He would be setting her up for failure, wouldn't he? If you can't do it. And folks, I'm going to tell you, you can walk without doing anything that is contrary to what God wants in your life. Do you know that?
Yes.
Because you are his workmanship.
Amen.
His workmanship. You're not your workmanship.
No.
You're his workmanship.
Amen.
Ooh, man. He took care of everything you need.
Yes.
He provided everything you need.
Yes.
Don't let yourself, can you say amen? How many know we have problems with self?
Yeah.
Don't let yourself call you things that the Word of God does not call you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Let the Word of God call you things, but don't let yourself call you things. Oh, I'm a man of God. I only go down to the bar and get drunk twice a week. No, come on, man. Can I tell you, the body of Christ has walked in a way that God has that, guess basically God has put up with it. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Because we have a servant God that is long suffering. He loves us dearly, and he desires us to walk in a way that brings glory into the earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory can only come through the body of Christ. When the Holy Spirit brings the glory through the body. Is that okay?
Yes.
That's the only way. Oh, God could do it, like in the Old Testament, a pillar of cloud by day and what is it, fire by night? Is that right, Tom?
Yeah.
fire by night. Oh, he could do that. But see, he's moved into a New Testament where now he dwells within us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
There should be a fire by day and a fire by night within you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You shouldn't be waiting for a revival. The church has been talking revival forever. I mean, we got to have a revival. We got to have a revival. We got to have a revival. Being born again is a revival.
Yes.
That's the beginning of a revival. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Don't be looking for a revival. Live your revival.
Yes.
Come on, man. We were praying at the church one night, and I was out walking around the church. Lord, we need a revival. We need a revival. And the Lord said, why don't you quit praying for revival and start celebrating my arrival?
Amen.
Because he is the revival. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you're looking for something, you're not going to see it.
Right.
But if you live the revival in your life, you're going to find that God is flowing out from you and people will get touched.
Amen.
People will hear. People will listen. Because I say, why are you so different? Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because I'm dead. Is that what? What are you talking about? Yeah, I died, man. God raised me up again, man. I became a new person in Christ.
Yes.
All things have passed away and everything has become new. I can't even say I got faith because now it's his faith that lives in me. It's his joy that lives in me. It's his peace that lives in me.
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah. They call it the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Come on. It's not my stuff. It's his stuff being shown through me. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, we need to understand. We need to know truth. We need to get so close to truth that truth is what holds us. Can you say amen to that? Today's sermon is called Know the Truth. Do you know it? Get to know it. Get to know it better. Because when you know, just when you think you know it, he shows you something else. And it adds to that. And then it adds to that. And then he shows you something else. Once you begin on this little trek of going after truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Nobody should tell you what's right and what's wrong. The Holy Spirit by himself will tell you that's right. That's wrong. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Check it out. I'm gonna take you to John chapter 8, verses 21 through 38. I love these scriptures. I love when Jesus gets into a little tangle with the Pharisees. Can you say amen? I love it. And hallelujah. I'm going to start at John chapter 8, verses 21 through 38. The Bible says here, it says, then Jesus said again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me. And you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, is he going to kill himself? Because he says, where I go, I cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath. And I am from above. Is that right?
Amen.
Has anybody ever known anybody from beneath? I'll tell you, before I knew the Lord, I was from beneath. I was one of them crawl out at night kind of guys. Know what I'm saying? I was not from above, I was from beneath. Jesus says, I am from above. You are from beneath. Is it stuck me, huh? You are of this world, and I am not of this world. You know what? Go tell somebody that. Go to Safeway, somebody you don't know, just say, hey, man, you're from this world. Yeah, I'm not from this world. Really? Where are you? You're an alien? Yeah, I guess I am. Then tell them, I'm from above, and you're from beneath. See what kind of answer you get out of that. You are from beneath. I'm from above. It might seem like Jesus was being a little boastful here, but he wasn't. He was telling them exactly the way it is. Is that right? I'm from above. I'm not of this world. I said therefore to you that you will die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. Folks, this is the same, this is a truth that will never go away. If you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't believe him, if you don't believe what he's done for you, you will die in your sins. Because it's Jesus and Jesus only. His blood is the only blood that can wash your sins away. Nothing else will do. You can't do a manda. You can't go down, crawl from your hands and knees all the way to the mission from here. You can't do that and then expect your sins to be washed away. Not without the blood of Christ. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
These are truths. If you don't believe, you will die in your sins. Then said they to him, who are you? Who do you think you are, isn't it? Come on, man. And Jesus said to them, see, I'm even the same that I said unto you. From the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And listen to this. He says, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. See, God can only speak truth. Can you say amen to that? That's all he speaks. There's nothing dark or hidden that God speaks. It's all truth. He says, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, and they understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself. Here we go. Here's that cross we were talking about earlier. When you have lifted me up, then you'll know. Isn't that crazy? Jesus prophesying to these guys. Some of them will understand, some won't. When you've lifted me up, then you shall know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me these things, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. Come on. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's with you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that he dwells in you?
Amen.
He'll never leave you, never forsake you. That's why I say we are Emmanuel's. God's with me. God's with us. God's with us. God's with us. God's with us. There is no distance or time between us. Can you say amen? Some churches think that, oh, he'll be back someday. Well, visibly he will be, but right now he's in you. Can you say amen?
That's it.
See, they separate it by distance. Someday is a distance. Some time is a time. And he's with us now, today, right now where you're sitting, he's there. If you love God and you've asked him to come into your heart, he's with you right now. If you've never done that, you need to, because if you don't, you're going to die in your sins. You need to ask. Say, Lord, come into my life. Everybody say that right now. Lord, come into my life. Say it again with some, Lord, come into my life.
Come into my life.
Hallelujah. Shakara kaposate. Come into my life. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Here's a nice word for you. Are you always doing what pleases him? Come on, man. Come on, look at me. Smile. Smile at me. Are you always doing those things that please him? Are you always doing those things? Come on. Listen, this is what Jesus, I always do what pleases my Father. Folks, this needs to be a goal in our life. I want to please my God.
Amen.
I want to be so close to him that he knows me. You know that Jesus, when he separated the sheep from the goats, remember that? He tells the sheep, he says, come, enter into the joy of your kingdom, of my kingdom. But he looks at the goats and he tells you what he says. I never knew you. You see, it's possible that somebody with their mouth said, yeah, I love God. I love Jesus. Yeah, I wear a Jesus hat. I got a Jesus t-shirt on. But they don't do what God is asking them to. Therefore, God says, I never know you. I didn't know you, man. Isn't that a sad place? Could it be that we can actually fool ourselves? Folks, this is why we need truth so badly. Because we can actually fool ourselves thinking that we don't need this or that from God. And God says, no, everything I provided for you, you need. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can't pick and choose with God. Oh, no, God, I don't want that. Well, I don't want that. I want God and everything he's got. If it's there, I want it. That's how I felt when I saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I saw it, I heard it, and it says it's to everyone that believes. It's the basic number one first gift that he got, the simplest one to get. Because it's powerful. You need power in this new resurrection life that you're living. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you found out that I need power in this resurrection life?
Yes.
Have you found that out? Because sometimes things again come against you, and then you begin to start acting in a way that displeases God. And what happens is you just need the power that he's provided for you so you can walk right through it. Can you say amen to that? How many of you want to walk right through that? I want to walk right through that. That, you know what, I need a vehicle, and God knows it, so I'm just going to keep my heart, and I'm going to walk right through that. Before you know, you'll have this vehicle that God has brought into your path. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
See, God wants to provide everything for you, but the trouble is we think that we got to do it on our own, where God says, no, you don't have to do anything on your own. See, you're thinking like this world, where I want you to think like the kingdom. In the kingdom, Randy, does the king not provide everything that the household needs? He provides all the needs. Whoo, hallelujah. You got to know it, you got to believe it, and you got to walk in it. It's what pleases God. Jesus says, I please my Father in all things. Verse 30 says, I don't know the rest. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Check this out. They're believing. Now he's got them. They're believing on him. Pretty good, eh? Praise God. Good preaching, Jesus. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Praise God. And he says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
Can you believe that they got offended with that? Because he said this, they answered and said to him, hey, sorry. Next verse. Yeah. We be Abraham's seed. And we have never been in bondage to any man. Can you see they got offended? How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily. Here he goes. He's stacking truth on truth. He said, yeah. Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Folks, that statement is as true today as it was then. If there's sin in your life, you're a servant to that sin. Huh? Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Now listen. I gotta do a little break right here, because I don't want to break your hearts. Is that right? The Bible said he washed all your sins away. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But there's some little pet peeve or some little tiny sin that keeps grabbing a hold of you and keeps grabbing you. Do you guys know what I mean?
Yep.
Anybody know what I mean? You keep going back to it.
Yep.
You keep entertaining it. You keep dressing it up, calling it good when it's not good. Is that right? Now, those things like that, Jesus did pay for those sins. You just need to learn that those things are bad for you. You need to realize that thing is making me a servant. I am an heir of Christ, yet I am in servitude because of this thing that keeps pulling on me and pulling on me and pulling on me. And God says, I'm going to break it loose if you'll let me. Can you say amen? How many want those things broken loose? I want them all broken loose. Huh? Whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And then he says this. I love this scripture because he says this. Thank you. Whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. The servant abides not in the house forever. How about you stay right there? Don't move it. The servant does not abide in the house forever. Is that all right? Are you glad with that? You need to look at this. You need to. He's talking about you're a servant because of sin. But see, God is saying to you, it's not going to be forever because I'm going to wash it out of you. I'm going to get you clear. I'm going to show you. I am going to make it plain of how you're going to be released from that because my blood has already released you. But your mindset is not the kingdom mindset, so it keeps taking you back. So, but if I begin to put this kingdom mindset in you, you're going to be standing back from that before you know it. It's not even about. Can I tell you, alcoholism, since I got saved, has not bothered me one bit.
Amen.
It has washed, it got cleared out.
Amen.
But there were some other things God had to do. Does that make me a sinner? No, he paid for those things, but he's cleaning the vessel, and it's not going to abide forever. It's going to be cleaned out. Is that okay? Because if you let him, he'll clean them out.
Amen.
And then he says, it abides not forever. But the Son, listen, but the Son abides forever. Abides where? In the house. You see, if he's abiding in the house, I guarantee you he's going to take a besom. How many know what a besom is? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
A besom, we talk about it. A besom is a broom. That's what he's going to do. He's going to clean the house if you let him.
Yeah.
Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
The Son shall make you free. Then you're going to be free indeed. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But you got to just keep listening and abiding with Jesus. Listening to truth. Listening to the word. Praying and talking, God, what are you saying to me? Keeping your communication with him open so that he can say something to you about, because I'll tell you, your freedom is in there. It's there. It's in him. But he's got to change your mindset.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. And then it says the perfect will of God. He wants you to see it. He wants you to acknowledge it before him. Say, yeah, I have problems with this, God. I need your help. He said, of course you do. I can do it for you, Essay. Come on, man. Hallelujah. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place. You see what happens, why those things will stay in you? Because his word is not making the effect that it needs to be. My word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your daddy. Who's their daddy? He tells them. He said, your daddy is the devil, bro. I am from above, and you are from beneath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. 1 John has some things about sin that people, used to ask me, man, these are some tough scriptures. And there are. There are some scriptures. It says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. Is that right? That's a fact. A sinner is a transgression of the law. But what about a born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, child of God? Those sins have been washed away, but now it's time to get them cleaned out of your mind. Is that okay? It's time to be purified by the Lord. Hallelujah. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know that he was manifested to do that for you. And in him is no sin. whosoever abides in him sins not. This is the area that I used to get into with some of my friends. I said, man, here's the word of God, bro. If you abide in him, you're not going to sin. Oh, well, nobody can live like that. Shut up. It says it right here. Here's the word. You're going by your experience that this might not be true. But this is as true as it gets, bro. Is that right? Amen. It's the word of God. It says it. Whosoever sins hath not seen him, neither hath known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Can you, I mean, I'm hoping you get it, because this might get a little confusing to some of you. But hopefully, by the Holy Spirit, I'm believing that God's going to really straighten these things out, because sin has no part of you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You should have no part of it. The Bible says, get angry and sin not. Is anger a sin? No. It can lead you into sin. Is that right? But anger... I get a little angry at my dogs once in a while. I got up the other morning and they had done some business in the house. I go, oh, God. I want you to know that Daddy's not happy about this. And Mom's not coming out of the room till it's clean. And I write Rose, where's she at? She goes, oh no, I ain't going out there, man. Clean it up, man. But I don't kill them.
Nope.
I don't call them a bunch of names. I do tell them they're disobedient. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. Sometimes we override our anger, let our anger override who we are, and we begin to speak things we shouldn't be speaking. And God says, no, no, no. I need you under control. Can you say amen to that? I send my spirit to you so that you can be under control. Can you say amen? So you can be under the influence of the Holy Ghost. How many of you like that? I want to be under that influence. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Look at this scripture. I love this. This is Solomon speaking. And he says this. By mercy and truth, iniquity is what? Purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from all evil. Is that okay?
Yeah.
By mercy and truth. You see, it's one thing to say, hey, I love God. But it is truth that's going to purge the things that are contrary to God in you. When he comes to dwell in you, how many of you know he's going to open the closets?
Yep.
Does anybody know that?
Yep.
He's going to open the closets. He goes, oop, there's a little lust in this closet. Oop, there's a little covetousness in this. They want everything. Yeah, let me see. Oop, oop, in this closet, there's a little golden idol down there. I tell you, when he comes into your life, he's going to open the closets of your heart. Can you say amen? How many of you want that? Oh, man, I say this kingdom that's coming is a kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom. And it operates the way the way God wants it to operate and not the way the world operates. Can you say amen? Try to operate your business. See, God wants to bless your business. I don't know how many of you are business people. He wants to bless your business, but you're doing it the way the world does it. And all he's saying to you, he says, look, stop and try to do it the way I do it, the way the kingdom does it. Do you know that the kingdom generally in business will give more than it receives? Do you know that? Listen to me. You listen to me. I sense the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody. A business that is following the kingdom will end up giving out more than it's receiving. And then in that giving out, it will begin to receive and receive and receive because it is operating under the way the kingdom operates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Yes, sir. I got an amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Listen. I don't know who you are, but God is saying to you, listen, seek me first in your business and do what I say to do and watch my kingdom prosper your business. I don't know who you are, but God is saying something to you. He's saying that you need to follow how he does things in this kingdom. He did a whole thing on the Sermon on the Mount, how this kingdom operates. Look at the Sermon on the Mount and follow the precepts there. And whatever he tells you to do, just do it. If he tells you, give $1 million, well, God, I ain't got $1 million. Just give it. Well, I ain't got it. Well, you all of a sudden you've got it and he wants you to give it. You better give it. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. God operates different than what the world is. I am not of this world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that right?
Yes.
No. He's the way. Way for what? Well, he's the way you walk. He's the way you talk. He's the way you run your business. He's the way that you treat other people.
Amen.
He's the way. That you look at the body of Christ and the people of Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. Is that right?
Amen.
He's the one. He's the only truth.
Amen.
Jesus said, hey, man, truth is not, it either has to be the truth 100% of the time or it's not the truth. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It is full throttle, all the way down, pedal to the metal, truth is just that way. It can't have some truth in it, then it's not truth of all. It's either all truth or not truth at all. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because Jesus says, I am the way and I'm the truth. I represent truth. I am truth is what he says. And then he says, I'm the life. How many like life?
Amen.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
I think so.
Sometimes we go through some stuff, amen?
Amen.
But God says, hey, I'm with you. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
I'm always with you. I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. I will take you, is what God says. I am the life. Can you say amen to that? Jesus is the life. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to life and light,
yeah.
Not darkness. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, verse 63 says this. I'm just giving you some scriptures here. I want you to look at these things. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. I'm not from this world. The flesh profits nothing. Tell yourself that once in a while. I want that big old hamburger right there. Well, the flesh profits nothing, bro. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheesecake. I love cheesecake. The flesh profits nothing. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to say something like that to ourselves. Can you say amen to that? You need to hold back. Look at how pretty that girl is. Oh my gosh, she's gorgeous.
Flesh profits nothing.
Come on, watch out. Watch it.
Yeah.
The flesh profits what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a thing. The flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are truth. This is what Jesus is saying. The words I'm telling you about are spirit and they are truth. They will accomplish. How many know that the word of God says, the word that I sent from heaven, it will accomplish what I've sent it to. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It will accomplish it. You gotta stand in line. You gotta just say, Lord, accomplish what you have for me. Stand there in front of him and say, God, I want to be accomplished. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. John 8:23 says this. This is back to where we were. He said, you are from beneath and I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Need to be listening to Jesus because he's from above. Can you say amen to that? He's in you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will tell you what you need to do. But you got to wait for him to tell you. Don't just go and do without waiting. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I got 10 minutes. So you guys, it's not even lunchtime yet. So don't worry about it. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. You are of God, little children. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're of God. You're of God. Look on the other side and say, you're of God.
You are of God.
You can say you too. You are God, little children, and have overcome them. Huh. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You see, people that are not of God, they'll look at you and they can say, that's just crazy. Give everything away before you start a business or whatever. That's just crazy. See, they don't know how to hear God. They've never heard God. But if you'll speak to them, they'll hear. Huh? We are of God. And he that knows God hears us. I will tell you, sometimes there's things that people come and ask me about stuff that I say. And I say, hey, bro, some of these things, I'm not even sure why I said it, but God will bring it through me. And then when I look at it, I see what he's doing. I see what he's saying. And it's okay. I love it when God reveals things in this house and people come and say, I don't get that. I love that. Can you say amen? No, maybe you don't know. I mean, but I love it when people say, hey, what about this? What about that? I had somebody just ask me the other day about us being independently dependent upon God. How many believe in that? Independently dependent on God. Folks, that does not mean that you are an island. Can I say that to you? Yes, we absolutely need each other. Because you know why? Because we are a body. But we need each other. Listen very carefully to me. We need each other doing what God has spoken to each one of us to do. That's what we need. We need everybody in the body hearing what God is saying to them. And I will tell you, there becomes an orchestration by the Spirit that begins to work very well in the body. And then the body becomes very, very mature.
Amen.
It begins strengthened because body members are strengthening one another because they're doing what God has called them to do. Not doing whatever they want to do, but doing what God has called them to do. That is a body that's functioning. Huh.
Amen.
We're never to be, the Bible tells us don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. That's what the Word of God says. So that we can minister to one another, so that we can build one another and strengthen one another. But you're never called to be by yourself in this kingdom. You are to be independently dependent upon God to show you what you need to do, and then you go do it. Isn't that cool? Is that cool? That is the way that God is bringing the kingdom in. Each member of the body understands its role. It's cool. John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is going to be the last one, okay? Is that all right, you guys? Just because it's getting awful quiet in here. And you know what? Sometimes an overload of stuff can also not do any good. But here it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. He wants you to look at what manner of love. It is a love that is, there's never been any love like it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called, look at what he says, sons of God. See, we're to be called sons of God on this planet. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We're not taking anything away from Jesus. We're actually living like Jesus. Huh. That is a goal. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you're out there at the lake, I've said this before, you're out there at the lake, somebody's drowning, don't take the time to swim to them. Run out there and grab them.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do it like Jesus. Come here, man. Peter goes, hey. I looked around, I saw the waves. Yeah. See, Jesus wasn't showing off, folks. He was doing what a man or a woman of God on the earth does when they have learned to follow the Lord. They have learned to subdue. And they have learned to take dominion. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
That's a good word. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it knew him not. Not of this world. Jesus says, I'm not of this world. I'm from above. Yes. Behold, now we, is that right? Everybody look at the we.
We
are what?
Sons of God.
Sons of God. Now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. See, God's taken us someplace. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can I tell you, Jesus appears in your closet. He will appear in your kitchen when you're chopping onions. He'll appear in your living room when you're listening to music. He will appear and he'll begin to speak things to you that you hadn't heard and you hadn't understood. But because you've asked him, he'll begin to start to instruct you in these things. And he will appear to you. And you're going to see him as he is. You're going to see truth as it is. Can you say amen? Every time you get a truth from God, can I tell you, you're being promoted. Is that okay? Promotion comes in the kingdom by the word being revealed to you. That's how it promotes. That's how God promotes his people. His word is revealed to you. You get promoted and you begin to walk in a different way because of this promotion that's happened to you. People begin to notice it and people begin to be drawn to it. We are to be magnets for the Lord. Can you say amen to that? You know that when Jesus was on earth, people were drawn to him. Crowds of people thronging him. That's us, folks.
Yep.
We're to be like him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You got to follow him, though. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. There's a good word. Purify. Is that right?
Amen.
Because he's in you.
Yes.
He will help you and he'll show you the purity that God desires for you. The cleanness. Can you say amen? No more stinky
Amen.
Christians. Can I say that to you? No more stinky Christians. Praise God, we don't have any more stinky Christians. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hey, I'm not talking about body odor either, folks. Come on, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Every man that has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is a transgression of the law, and you know, do you know, that he was manifested to take away your sins. And in him that's dwelling in you, there is no sin.
Amen.
Folks, that's a good word, man.
Yeah.
There you are sinless. Look at your neighbor and say, sinless.
Sinless.
Do the little Chicano thing. I like, tell me how you, sinless. I am sinless. I ain't got no sin. Hallelujah. I don't want no sin. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Can you stand
amen.
Up? Can you stand up? You sinless crowd of people, can you stand up?
Yep.
Know this. Know this. Huh.
Yes.
That he was manifested to take away your sin. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would just show us more and more about this life in the kingdom. The brightness of your kingdom and the glory of your kingdom, Father, I speak into the body of Christ today. That they receive everything that you desire for them to have in abundance, in overabundance, Father. I thank you for it, God. Thank you that we are a generation that will see the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Father, that we are this generation that the scriptures have talked about because of the working of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and his goodness is in all the earth.
Yes.
His goodness. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Man or woman of God, know that his eye is upon you to do that which he has desired, which he planned from even before the world was established. Man or woman of God, here today, know that God is working in your life to purify and to build and to strengthen, that the brightness of the kingdom might be seen in the earth, that those that don't believe might be drawn to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Ooh, if you agree, say amen. And give somebody a high five. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.